BBC presents Desert Island Discs. Program, a well-known person is asked the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you? Assuming, of course, that you also had a gramophone and an inexhaustible supply of needles. The program's introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? On Our Desert Island is one of our most gifted actors, both in the theatre and on films. And he's also one of our foremost playwrights, M. Lynn Williams. His performances in the theatre have ranged from Shakespeare to Edgar Wallace, and his own plays include Night Must Fall, The Corn Is Green, The Light of Heart, Accolade, and Someone Waiting. Well, Mr. Williams, does the gramophone mean a lot to you? Do you play it a lot at home?
Yes, it used to mean a great deal to me. Then it sort of meant a little bit less. Now it's come to mean more because I have two sons who play it pretty well all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm back where I was.
What are the general principles you've worked on in choosing these records for the island?
For the island? Well, I suppose memories, really, because as one gets a bit older, the memories become more important, and I would like to be with memories of people I've liked and known very well, on experiences in the theatre, whether my own or other people's, and just things connected with things in the past generally.
Yes. Which memory are we going to look back to first?
Well, I suppose logically the first one would be one of early childhood, which was spent in my case in a little Welsh village. And it's the memory of a little boy who sat near me in school, who was a few years younger than I was, a very serious man, a little boy with a very childish treble. He used to sing with us all in the songs we were taught, Welsh songs. And I can see by your look on your face you're wondering, I'm going to get him onto the record.
I was.
Well, as a matter of fact, he became a well-known singer, tenor, called David Lloyd.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And the song is a song which we used to sing in school, and you can imagine that this would really bring memories. It's called in Welsh, Dafydd y Garreg Gwen, which is David of the White Rock.
Have you any musical talent yourself? Do you sing or play an instrument?
Absolutely no musical talent of any sort. I can't sing and I can't play.
What gave you the urge to write and act? Can you remember? And which came first?
Well, they both sort of happened together, really. I think hearing music again helped. It gave me a sort of feeling of the drama before I ever saw the inside of a theatre. And I was to try and act and write plays before I ever saw any.
When did you get your first chance to see the theatre? When was the first
Oxford, when I went to Oxford and saw plays there and used to go to London and see them, and I suddenly realised that that was the life for me.
What were you going to do before that, before you realised that?
Oh, I think I was destined, really, to be going to the scholastic profession, mm-hmm. or even the church, or the chapel, as it would be in my case.
Yes. Which of your plays, the plays you've written, do you look back on as the most satisfying?
I suppose The Corn Is Green, really. And but there's another player, too, which I have an affection for, if you can have an affection for something which is a little bit of a monster. It's a play which is which did a great deal for me, which naturally I was grateful for. And we had to have an introductory bars of music, and the producer, Miles Morrison, said, "What do you think should be?" And I said, "Well, it must have a wonderful dramatic thrill in it, the music. He's opening, it must be opening chords of some extraordinary, eerie, challenging, dramatic music." And he said, "Well, I think I've got the record for you." And I particularly love this record because on the first night when I was very nervous, knew that a great deal hung on this play, which I'd written a part of myself in, and if the play failed, I would be really sort of sunk for the time being anyway.
What was the music?
And it was The Perfect Fool by Holst, the opening chords, and it's the lights went down and the music started, and I had a feeling, well, it was going to be all right.
What was the play?
Night Before. Record would be a song where a very great star who is indirectly connected with the player we were talking about, Night Before, because she was the first big star who was, to me, was extremely glamorous, who came round to see me, having seen the play, and which was a great thrill for me. And she had played the year before, about 18 months before, I think, in a musical show where I'd loved one song she'd sung. And I think because of that, I'd have this song, which is to me the perfection of light point singing. And the star, of course, is Gertrude Lawrence. It's a song called Experiment from L'Inferno.
Experiment, make it your motto day and night. Experiment, and it will lead you to the light. The apple on the top of the tree is never too high to achieve. Just take an example from Eve. Experiment.
There's a double reason for my next choice. It's to do with another Welsh boy. I was casting a play about 11 years ago, and we advertised for people in Wales for these parts, and I went and interviewed a lot of people. And there was one boy, rather a scruffy schoolboy, about 16 or 17, with very extraordinary green eyes and a rather disarming manner, who read, and as soon as he read, I knew there was something there, mm-hmm. very definitely.
What was his name?
Richard Jenkins. And he went into the play, and then he did a film of mine called Last Days of Dolan, and then he went to Hollywood and has since done remarkably well.
Jenkins?
Well, he became Richard Burton when he went
oh,
on the stage.
Indeed. He yes, changed
I
his name.
Almost forgot to mention it. Yes. And the record is of Under Milk Wood, which is, of course, by Dylan Thomas. And so there's a double reason for my playing this, which would remind me of my play with Richard Burton and of Under Milk Wood when we did it in the theatre, Richard yes. Burton and Sybil Thorndike.
That was at the Dylan Thomas Memorial Programme, wasn't it? And this is Richard Burton in an excerpt from...
Oh, the opening passage.
To begin at the beginning. It is spring, moonless night in a small town, starless and Bible black, the cobbled streets silent and the hunched quarters and rabbits wood limping invisible down to the slow black, crow black fishing boat bobbing sea. The houses are blind as moles, though moles see fine tonight in the snouting velvet dingles, or blind as Captain Cat there in the muffled middle by the pump and the town clock, the shops in mourning, the welfare hall in widow's weeds, and all the people of the lulled and dumbfound town are sleeping now. Hush! The babies are sleeping, The farmers, the fishers, the tradesmen and pensioners, cobblers, schoolteacher, postman and publican, the undertaker and the fancy woman, drunkard, dressmaker, preacher, policeman, the webfoot, cockle women, and the tidy wives.
My next is a great woman star whom I first saw in the halls, Victoria Palace, 1929, and who's been a great idol of mine ever since and always will be. I'm of the school that admires her more, even when she's being serious than when she's being funny. And this is a serious record. It's a very sentimental record, but it's sentimental in what I think is exactly the right way. It's done with tremendous simplicity and, I think, poignancy. It's Gracie Fields singing Three Green Bonnets.
Like so many people in the straight theatre, would you call yourself a music hall fan?
Yes, very definitely. I think we're fascinated by the people in the music hall who are absolutely 100% real, like Gracie Fields.
Yes.
And I think my next would be a comedian who is not only a comedian but a very, very charming singer and who's, again, like Gracie, absolutely himself and completely real, both as an actor and as a person, and that is Max Bygraves.
What's it called then?
Tomorrow.
Things will turn out fine tomorrow. All along the line tomorrow. Though it's cloudy everywhere, just dry your tears and don't despair. There's happiness for all to share tomorrow.
Now, what sort of castaway do you think you'd be on this island? First of all, would the solitude worry you very much?
Not greatly, no. It would at moments, of course, but not as a... No, I wouldn't be appalled by it.
And what about, in a practical sense, could you build somewhere to live?
No. Absolutely, definitely not.
Oh, but you must.
No, I was terrible at woodwork at school, and I don't see why I should be better now. I think I would just have to lie on the sand and hope for the best.
I'm a little bit worried about you on this island, Mr. Williams. I think you're going to have a very uncomfortable time. You don't seem equipped for it awfully well.
I wouldn't mind, as long as I had something to eat, you know, but it wouldn't have to be anything very special.
Now, what about another record?
Yes, and well, there's a double reason for this one, too, I suppose, because it's a record I played and was given to me and I loved when I was first in London, and I had about five records on this tiny portable gramophone. And when, some years later, I wrote a play called The Wind of Heaven, which was a play about religion, which required very atmospheric, soft and yet not depressing opening music with great lyrical quality behind it, suggesting a sort of wonderful moonlight night over... In the country, an idyllic atmosphere. I certainly remembered this, and we played it, and it was tremendously effective as an opening to that particular play. It's the Shropshire Lad by Butterworth.
Number eight. What's the last one going to be?
Well, the last is a frankly personal and sentimental one to do with family life. And it's so personal, I suppose, that I don't think I would play it until the very last night when I knew the ship was arriving next day, because I'd get rather depressed if I did, when I knew it wasn't coming, and the ship picking me off this awful bit of sand where I'm lying without any roof, no food.
Yes, it better get there pretty quickly, I think.
You think so? It's a record of the musical play that my wife and I saw at His Majesty's the year we got married, 1934, and we played the record of, and like most people who start family life and go on with it, the record has become sort of tied up in our minds with that time, certainly in mine. It's Noël Coward and Yvonne Plantin in I'll Follow My Secret Heart, Yvonne Plantin singing.
From Conversation Piece, or
Conversation Piece.
You have one more choice to make, as well as your 8 records. That's your luxury object.
Oh, really?
You're allowed to take with you one small, or needn't be small, one luxury, but nothing useful.
Nothing, just purely for pleasure.
That's it.
Not even a chisel or something to help me build this?
Nothing like that at all.
Help me out? No.
A luxury.
Books, you allow?
That's all right.
Ah, well, that makes it absolutely simple, because I would obviously have a book. And then the biggest and longest book that is in existence, I think the Encyclopedia... And anonymous, whatever.
The biggest and best.
Yes, and I read it on and on until the ship came. Mm-hmm. And probably arrived back with tons of useless information and perhaps 2 or 3 rather dull plays based on that information.
Well, I hope you'll write some plays in the margins while you're on the island, and certainly they won't be dull ones, I'm sure. Thank you very much, Emily Williams, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island.
I've enjoyed it very much.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Program Desert Island Discs was devised by Roy Plumley and introduced by him in the London studios of the BBC.